So I am super excited to share with you guys tonight. I felt the Lord putting a specific message in my heart, actually it was about a week ago. And then as we went through the conference and we just followed the Holy Spirit and just saw where the Lord was taking us, what he was doing in the church in 412, this message just continued to burn. So I was just full of excitement and passion to share it tonight. And then we just had this time of just raising our faith, stirring our faith, just remembering the things that he's already done, his faithfulness, who he is. And I feel that's what God's been doing this week. He's been just revealing more and more of himself, who he is, drawing us into the deeper and deeper wells of knowing him, of worshiping him, of being refreshed by him, of seeking him, of reminding us that he is God. He is God alone. Bringing us to a deeper place of reverence and awe. And I'm going to be sharing tonight about a topic that he's been speaking to me about personally, and that's engaging the Word of God. Engaging the Word of God. We had a word come through that during worship time that faith comes from hearing and hearing the Word of God. And he's stirring a faith. He's stirring something in us tonight. And while I have this excitement to share this word, I have to be honest with you, I'm feeling a kingdom way to communicate it well. Andrew, at the conference on Friday, brought a word through that the worship leaders, he just had the sense that worship leaders going forward had to be very careful about what words they had us sing in response to the Lord. And that preachers that took this microphone, that took this pulpit, had to be very careful about what they were preaching. And he sensed that there would just be a fear of the Lord on us in this position. And I'll be honest with you, that's exactly where God has me right now in this moment. And there's no place I'd rather be. There's really no place I'd rather be. And I want to start by just telling you a recent experience that I had in my life. It was about a week ago. It was the Friday before the gathering that we had. And I had just finished my personal devotional time with the Lord, and I was ready to move on to a few projects that I planned on doing that day. And it kind of just hit me that the following day I would be made an elder in Christ's church. And the gravity of that, the weight of that, it hit me. And I felt like I should just pause and just turn to the Lord in that moment and say, Lord, I've got one day before you made me an elder in your church. Like, what do you want me to do with this time right now? Is there anything that you want me to be doing as a good steward to prepare for tomorrow? And in hindsight, I realize that's a question I probably should be asking more and more often. Like, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do now? What do you want me to do now? What do you want me to do now? And in that moment, he reminded me of a habit that recently started, actually just that week. I had just started again to memorize scripture. It's something that I had done in the past, here and there. There's seasons of doing it, not doing it, and I hadn't done it in a while, and I felt the Lord put on my heart, like, you need to be getting the scripture into you by memorizing it. So literally that week, I had just started it, so I felt like the Lord said, review those scriptures. So there were four passages that I'd been reviewing that week. I'd wake up in the morning and I'd bring them to mind. I'd go to bed at night and I'd think about them and I'd meditate on them during the day. And I reviewed those scriptures, and as I did that, the Lord just stirred more and more of a hunger for his word. So I actually got excited. I wanted to memorize. I almost got ahead of myself. I wanted to memorize more and more and more. And I actually found a list of scriptures you can memorize weekly over the course of a year. It's kind of maybe the 100 foundational verses, so to speak. If you're going to pick verses that, if you only memorize 100, and I'm not encouraging this, if you only memorize 100, these will be the foundational ones to memorize. I was excited about just making this a habit and a discipline in my life. And don't get me wrong, I'm not telling you to only focus on a certain set of scriptures, or only one book of the Bible, or only the New Testament. When we look at scripture, when we look at 2 Timothy 3:16, it is very clear. All scripture is God-breathed. And if you do some research on that word all, it actually means all. It means all. All scripture is God-breathed, breathed out by God, inspired by God, and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, And here's the reason why. So that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And that's each and every one of us. We are the servants of God. We talk about a priesthood of saints, each one of us being equipped for the works of the ministry, being brought to a place of maturity in the Lord. If you're at the conference, Peter Nembhard gave this message that he feels God wants us to launch out into the deep, each and every one of us. And they asked, who feels like the Lord's putting a church plant on your heart? And hands went up all around the room with this desire. We want to be thoroughly equipped for these works that the Lord has prepared in advance for each and every one of us to do. When we look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, we read that we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Do you realize that there are good works that God prepared in advance for you to do, and for you to do, and for you to do, and for each and every one of us to do? And we want to be thoroughly equipped to do those works. And how does that happen? Well, 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us a very important part of getting there. And that's Scripture. Scripture. Because Scripture is useful for four very important things. We see that it is useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, and for training in righteousness. And let me kind of break those down for you a little bit. So when we speak about teaching, Scripture tells us the proper way for us to think. It teaches us for the proper way to think about ourselves, to think about others, to think about God, to think about the world and life. We're taught by Scripture the proper way to think. The flip side of that is correcting. Correcting shows us improper ways of thinking. Scripture corrects us in improper ways of thinking. And then we have training in righteousness. Training in righteousness, it refers to Scripture showing us the proper way that we should be acting and living our lives, training us in righteous actions. And the flip side of that is rebuking, which refers to showing us the improper actions that we are taking. So it's massively important that we, as we engage with Scripture, we're allowing it to shape and guide our thoughts and our actions so that we may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And I've got a quick testimony to share myself about hosting this week. Sumri and I were blessed to host this just sweet, wonderful 73-year-old woman. She was actually from Port Elizabeth, wasn't even part of 412. Her son is part of Josh Jen. So my first thought was, well, why aren't you staying with your son? But it was cool when I got that answer. It wasn't a family divide or anything. Her son was very smart. Her son wanted her to experience hospitality in Josh Jen and 412 and experience Christ through that. It was brilliant. So we did our best to love her well. And it was so cool. Each night we drive home from the conference. I was so excited to hear what somebody who's first time there, what their experience was. And she was blown away. But she would share that, oh, I've taken all of these notes and I wrote down every single scripture and I wanna just spend some time going through every single scripture. And the first thing it did is it just inspired me. Like, Lord, please, when I am that age, let me have the same hunger for you and your word. Please. It was beautiful. And then she also continued and she shared two very specific things that the Holy Spirit convicted her on. And I felt that I had to encourage her. And I told her, I'm like, man, like if you have the time, the energy, and you get to going to review your pages of notes and all of those scriptures, which is a lot over 3 days and seven different speakers, if you're able to do that, that's great. But let me encourage you to start here. Start with your focus, your energy, and your attention on those two truths that the Holy Spirit specifically revealed to you this week and obeying those two truths. Start there before getting into a place of just information overload, page after page of notes and notes, and applying none of it. Because you see, sometimes even in our hunger for the Lord, we can get caught up in this place of just chasing the next great teaching, the next great sermon, the next great preacher, the next great book, the next great conference. And all the while, the Lord is just saying, will you please just obey? Worship me by obeying the last thing that I told you I wanted you to do. I've heard that the biggest gap for Christians, and I believe this, it isn't between what we know and what we don't know, just gathering more information. The biggest gap is between what we already know, what God's already revealed to us, and what we're actually applying in our lives. What's the last thing the Holy Spirit asked you to do? Have you been obedient and done it? And if you can't remember anything, are you taking the time to pause and to listen? God, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to respond? So I've personally chosen to memorize these scriptures. And I'm starting with this list because we have to start somewhere. Like, God will direct our steps. If we're taking steps, we have to take a step. And maybe one day I'll get to the place where I'm like a lot of believers in China, where, man, if they can get their hand on a page of the Bible, just give me one page, I will memorize it as fast as I can, because if the government finds it, it's gone. It's gone. And I heard this story about just thousands and thousands of teenagers working in the fields in China, and they've got the entire New Testament memorized. The entire New Testament. And when I heard that, it just convicted me to the core. I realized I was missing the mark in my own life. And how did I know that? Well, I opened my Bible, and I opened to Psalm 1. And I read Psalm 1. And it says, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. And first of all, I want to be that blessed person. I want to prosper. I want to be bearing fruit in the Lord. I want to be that person. So I pay attention to this, and I see in verse 2 that the first thing that stands out to me is the fact that this person delights in the law of the Lord. So I have to ask myself, do I delight in the law of the Lord? Do I delight in the Word of God? Or has it become a chore to me, a task that maybe on my good days I get through, I open and close? Or am I delighting in the Word of God? And then what also stands out to me is the fact that this person who's blessed, they meditate on his law day and night. And here's the thing. It's very difficult to meditate day and night on something that you haven't memorized. Unless you're walking around like this, and if you are, God bless you, as you go through your day, You can't meditate on it. Unless the word has gotten in you, you cannot meditate on it day and night. So I started memorizing scripture again, and it's been just so beautiful how the Holy Spirit has been just bringing these verses and words and passages alive in my heart and my mind and my life in new and fresh ways. We see in Hebrews 4:12 that the word of God is alive and active. Sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attributes of the heart. The Word of God is alive and active. It's a supernatural work that takes place when we engage with the Word of God through the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. John MacArthur is a pastor in my home country of America. And I heard a story of how the Lord placed it on his heart once to read the book of 1 John. It's a fairly short book, five chapters. But he placed it on his heart to read all five chapters today and then do it again for 30 days. So every day he would read 1 John over, all of 1 John, every day for 30 days. And what came from that is absolutely amazing. He said at the end of 30 days, he felt like he was just starting to have the Lord scrape the surface of what was in that book. So he did it again for another 30 days. And that's so different than the way that we approach things in the Western world. We have this way of, let's get this done so I can move on to the next thing. I did 1 John yesterday, let me get to 2 John so I can get to 3 John so I can finish and I can start my next read the Bible in a year plan. We do that. We want to get, we feel like it's a bad thing to go backwards, but sometimes we have to go backwards to go forward. And there are lots of hungry Christians that are opening up the Bible app on their phone. And they're reading their daily reading plan. And they're getting their green checks for successfully completing it. And I used to be that person. That there are many days where I didn't get the green checks, in all honesty, because I got busy, life got away from me, and the day ended, and I didn't get in the Word at all. I didn't open my Bible app. So that made me that much more happier when I did actually open it up and I did read something and I get that green check mark. And the Bible app now, it's got new features if you use it. It has this feature called the streak feature. Really cool. Every time you open it up, it tracks the number of consecutive days that you've opened up the app. Fireworks will go off on your app. It'll say, wow, you've opened the app 21 straight days. And I see what they're trying to do. They're trying to encourage us. But man, like I feel like we've lowered God's standard for what he wants from us in our time with him, in our time in the Word. We're being rewarded for just doing this or completing, not even necessarily completing, reading the Word. We're reading something that's talking about the Word. And I feel like the Lord wants more. And with the good heart and good intentions, the goal can quickly become more about completing the task, getting through it, getting your well-done check mark, and moving on with your day, rather than what it was originally intended for. And that was to encounter God, to know him better, to hear him through his word, to become more like him, and to follow him. And the person closes their Bible app, and they continue their day, and often just 30 minutes later, they remember nothing of what they read that day. And I wonder if I happen to be walking past your driveway as you're heading out for the day in the morning, and we had a conversation, and I said, hey, did you read the Word this morning? You said, yeah, I got my time in the Word this morning. If I asked you, what did the Lord show you in your time in the Word? What did the Lord teach you? What does he want you to do in response to what he taught you? Would you be able to answer me? Or would you have already forgotten what you'd read that day? James talks about this. He talks about it in James chapter 1, starting in verse 22. He says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. We're deceiving ourselves if we think it's enough to just come here on Sunday and listen to a preach. We're deceiving ourselves if we think it's just enough to only open and read the Word of God. We're deceiving ourselves. He says, do what it says. Anyone who listens to the Word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. And if you were at the conference on Wednesday morning, Mike Dofe shared a very, very powerful message about falling away and finishing strong. And he reminded us that God warns us in many places in the Bible about watching out for dangers, lest we fall away. The devil can set us up to be self-confident, confident in ourselves, to be naive. And if we say our love will never go cold, we don't understand. Greater men than us have fallen. And one of the scriptures that Mike used where we see this concept of drifting away, it's Hebrews 2, verse 1. And it says we must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. And if you think the current of this world and the culture is going to take you closer to Christ, closer to biblical truth, I'll have to be the one to break it to you. You're deceived. The news, the world, the media is constantly telling you how you should think, what you should believe, how you should behave, and very little to none of it aligns with God's heart and biblical truth. And for this reason, the writer in Hebrews tells us that we must pay the most careful attention to what we have heard, the word of God, the gospel. And be clear, he's not saying make sure you've heard it. All the recipients of this letter have heard the gospel message. In our case today, you might say, well, Pete, I've read the Bible. I've been there, done that. What's next? And just reading the Bible isn't what the author is saying here either. He's saying that we must pay the most careful attention to what we've heard. James said, look intently into it. Its original meaning is just stooping over it, paying careful attention to it. And that means spending time with the Lord in the Word, going beyond just reading it, but rather to meditating on it, memorizing it, asking the Holy Spirit to reveal truth to you in it, asking God, how do you want me to respond to what you're showing me in your word, and then actually responding to it in repentance, in prayer, in action, whatever the Holy Spirit's asking you to do, but engaging the Lord in your time in the word. Do you have a daily, unhurried period of devotional time with the Lord? And that key word there is unhurried. Do you have an unhurried period, a daily basis of devotional time with the Lord, where you're looking intently into his word, paying the most careful attention to what he's given us, the word of God? In that message, Mike shared a very sobering statistic about a study. 246 leaders in ministry, pastors in ministry, that by all accounts, they showed all evidence of being saved, of following Christ well. And all 246 of them had fallen because of moral failure. And later on, as they had conversations about what their life looked like before they fell, each and every one of them said the same thing, that they had all but ceased from having a personal devotional time of prayer, Bible reading, and worship with the Lord. And if it could happen to church leaders, do you think it could happen to you? It is massively important that we are devoted to engaging God through his word. And I don't want to take for granted that each and every one of you even knows what that looks like, to go beyond reading it, to engaging him in it. So I want to share just one practical way, one practical method you could use, making it very clear that it's not about a system, it's not about a method. God is not a system, God is a person. But if you don't have a system to engage him in the word, I encourage you to start here. Start with the one I'm about to give you. And it's an acronym called HEAR, H-E-A-R. So as you're reading the word, have a journal next to you. And the H stands for highlight. Highlight. So as you're reading, ask the Lord, ask the Holy Spirit to, he's going to do it anyway, actually, but just press in, what is God revealing to you in the Word as you go through it? It might be a word, it might be a phrase, it might be a verse, it may be a passage, but what is the Holy Spirit highlighting? Have an awareness of that as you're going through the Word. Write it down. So what is God highlighting to you as you're going through the Word? The E stands for explain. This is actually looking at the original context. What's happening here at the time this was written? Is it Paul writing a letter to a church? Is it Jesus talking to the disciples? What's actually going on here? And this is so key because Scripture can never mean what it was not intended to mean. So we can't just take a verse, throw it up on the wall, and just make it read what it does without actually seeing what it meant originally. For those of you guys that have commentaries and dictionaries, use them. But if you've never done this before, there's two simple tools that I'd recommend that could really help you. One is a study Bible. And if you don't have one and you can't afford one in print, it's free online. You can get a free study Bible online. It'll break down a lot of what's happening in that word, what's happening in the Word. The second thing that I really love is on YouTube, there is a series called the Read Scripture Series by the nonprofit called The Bible Project. And it's 8 to 10 minute videos for each book of the Bible. They're just an animated overview of what's actually happening in that entire book in the context of the entire Bible. It's beautiful, it's simple, it's easy to understand if you've never seen them. Those are also a great place to start. But get an idea what is happening in that passage. The next step, the A, stands for apply. Once you have that context and the Holy Spirit's highlighted something to you, you ask the Lord, How does this apply to my life right now? How does this apply to me? If there's a command to be obeyed, we obey it. If there's a promise to be embraced, we claim it. If there's a warning to be followed, we heed it. How does this apply to me? And finally, the R stands for respond. We have to respond. So write out a prayer of response to the Lord. If he's telling you to do something, write out a prayer of committing to do it, to take action. If he's convicting you of something, write out a prayer of repentance, asking for forgiveness and turning away from that sinful behavior or attitude. Whatever the Holy Spirit is asking you to do in light of the Scripture that he highlighted to you, respond. This is the ultimate step. We must be submitting to Scripture and letting it transform our lives.